Chapter 33. No Other Gods Before Me.
Appeared in Notebook Leaflets, Christian Experience, Number 13. Every true child of God will be sifted as wheat, and in the sifting process, every cherished pleasure which diverts the mind from God must be sacrificed. In many families, the mantel shelves, stands, and tables are filled with ornaments and pictures. Albums filled with photographs of the families and their friends are placed where they will attract the attention of visitors. Thus, the thoughts which should be upon God and heavenly interests are brought down to common things. Is not this a species of idolatry? Should not the money thus spent have been used to bless humanity, to relieve the suffering, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry? Should it not be placed in the Lord's treasury to advance His cause and build up His kingdom in the earth? This matter is of great importance, and it is urged upon you to save you from the sin of idolatry. Blessing would come to your souls if you would obey the words spoken by the Holy One of Israel, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Exodus 20, verse 3. Many are creating unnecessary cares and anxieties for themselves by devoting time and thought to the unnecessary ornaments with which their houses are filled. The power of God is needed to arouse them from this devotion, for to all intents and purposes it is idolatry. He who searches the heart desires to win his people from every species of idolatry. Let the Word of God, the blessed book of life, occupy the tables now filled with useless ornaments. Spend your money in buying books that will be the means of enlightening the mind in regard to present truth. The time you waste in moving and dusting the multitudinous ornaments in your house, spend in writing a few lines to your friends, in sending papers or leaflets or little books to someone who knows not the truth. Grasp the Word of God as the treasure of infinite wisdom and love. This is the guidebook that points out the path to heaven. It points us to the sin-pardoning Savior, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. Oh, that you would search the Scriptures with prayerful hearts and a spirit of surrender to God. Oh, that you would search your hearts as with a lighted candle and discover and break the finest thread that binds you to worldly habits which divert the mind from God. Plead with God to show you every practice that draws your thoughts and affections from Him. God has given His holy law to man as His measure of character. By this law you may see and overcome every defect in your character. You may sever yourself from every idol and link yourself to the throne of God by the golden chain of grace and truth. The Review and Herald, May 14, 1901. A caution regarding extreme positions. There are some who had capabilities to help the church, but who needed first to set their own hearts in order. Some had been bringing in false tests and had made their own ideas and notions a criterion, magnifying matters of little importance into tests of Christian fellowship and binding heavy burdens upon others. Thus a spirit of criticism, fault-finding, and dissension had come in, which had been a great injury to the church, and the impression was given to unbelievers that Sabbath-keeping Adventists were a set of fanatics and extremists, and that their peculiar faith rendered them unkind, uncourteous, and really unchristian in character. Thus the course of a few extremists prevented the influence of the truth from reaching the people. Some were making the matter of dress of first importance, criticizing articles of dress worn by others, and standing ready to condemn everyone who did not exactly meet their ideas. A few condemned pictures, urging that they are prohibited by the Second Commandment, and that everything of this kind should be destroyed. These one-idea men can see nothing except to press the one thing that presents itself to their minds. Years ago, we had to meet this same spirit and work. Men arose claiming to have been sent with a message condemning pictures and urging that every likeness of anything should be destroyed. They went to such lengths as even to condemn clocks which had figures or pictures upon them. Now we read in the Bible of a good conscience, and there are not only good but bad consciences. There is a conscientiousness that will carry everything to extremes and make Christian duties as burdensome as the Jews made the observance of the Sabbath. The rebuke which Jesus gave to the scribes and Pharisees applies to this class as well. Ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. Luke 11, verse 42. One fanatic with his strong spirit and radical ideas who will oppress the conscience of those who want to be right will do great harm. The church needs to be purified from all such influences. Pictures used by God. The second commandment prohibits image worship, but God himself employed pictures and symbols to represent to his prophets lessons which he would have them give to the people, and which could thus be better understood than if given in any other way. He appealed to the understanding through the sense of sight. Prophetic history was presented to Daniel and John in symbols, and these were to be represented plainly upon tables, that he who reads might understand. It is true that altogether too much money is expended upon pictures. Not a little means which should flow into the treasury of God is paid to the artists, but the evil that will result to the church from the course of these extremists is far greater than that which they are trying to correct. It is sometimes a difficult matter to tell just where the line is, where picture-making becomes a sin, but those who love God and desire with all their hearts to keep his commandments will be directed by him. God would not have them depend on any man to be conscience for them. He who accepts all the ideas and impressions of unbalanced minds will become confused and bewildered. It is Satan's object to divert the attention from the third angel's message to side issues, that minds and hearts that should be growing in grace and in the knowledge of truth may be dwarfed and enfeebled, so that God may not be glorified by them. Historical Sketches of the Foreign Missions of the Seventh-day Adventists, pages 211 and 212.